Turn with me in your Bibles, please, for our second reading. You'll find that in the 35th chapter of the book of Job. Job chapter 35 and verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. Elihu spake moreover and said, Thinkest thou this to be right, that thou saidst, My righteousness is more than God's? For thou saidst, What advantage will it be unto thee, and what profit shall I have, if I be cleansed from my sin? I will answer thee, and thy companions with thee. Look unto the heavens and see. Behold the clouds which are higher than thou. If thou sinnest, what dost thou against him? Or if thy transgressions be multiplied, what doest thou unto him? If thou be righteous, what givest thou him? Or what receiveth he of thine hand? Thy wickedness may hurt a man as thou art, and thy righteousness may profit the son of man. By reason of the multitude of oppressions, they make the oppressed to cry. They cry out by reason of the arm of the mighty. But none saith, Where is God, my maker, who giveth songs in the night, who teacheth us more than the beasts of the earth, and maketh us wiser than the fowls of heaven? There they cry, but none giveth answer because of the pride of evil men. Surely God will not hear vanity, neither will the Almighty regard it. Although thou sayest thou shalt not see him, yet judgment is before him. Therefore, trust thou in him. But now, because it is not so, he hath visited in his anger, yet he knoweth it not in great extremity. Therefore doth Job open his mouth in vain. He multiplieth words without knowledge. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. All right, so in the first portion of the chapter, I have that as verses 1 through 5. I think that's right. Well, let me get to the right sheet of notes, and I'll be able to answer that more accurately. 1 through 8 is what I have as the first section here. Elihu continues his speech in response to Job's justifying of himself. He summarizes what Job has said. He puts it to its true thesis. This must have been very convicting for Job. It is a kindness from Elihu as he speaks and puts Job's folly into a thesis when he says to him, Thinkest thou this to be right, that thou saidst, My righteousness is more than God's? Now, he hasn't really said that explicitly, has he? Not really. And yet, in everything that he has said, that's what he's been saying the whole way through. He has brought God into judgment and adjudged his own righteousness, his own view of things, superior to God's. May I say, my dear brothers and sisters, that this is not an uncommon sin, rather, it is all too common among the children of men. Whenever we murmur, whenever we complain, whenever we say, Oh, I wish it was like this instead. I've been on the phone with a young man this week who was talking to me about someone that he knows who's come to him for counsel. And this young lady that's come to him for counsel is pining over what someone else ought to be doing. May I say, there is no greater losing proposition than that. Trying to make people do what you think they should be doing. And yet she goes on, and my counsel to him was, speak to her about not what someone else ought to be doing, but about her own dissatisfaction and difficulty in these circumstances that she's talking about. It's so very clear, isn't it, in Scripture? That when we begin to say, Oh, I wish that someone else was doing something like this instead. Or I wish this and I want that, and we go on. And that becomes our focus. Have we not in some way brought God into the dock rather than endeavoring to see what the Lord would do in the midst of such things? And so Job, in his questioning of God's providence toward him, even though he is innocent of charges that have been brought to him by his three friends, still he is not innocent of the charge here that he has charged God with injustice. And so Elihu really does him a kindness when he says to him, "Is it right that you have said my righteousness is more than God's?" And he puts it succinctly, theoretically, right to Job. This is the paradigm of your thought, Job. Wake up and understand what you're doing. Now, to help him with that, it is so very interesting the way he does so. Notice, first of all, that he talks about God's self-sufficiency. He says, "Now, think with me, Job, on this thing. Think with me about this. If you do evil, have you somehow put God to the worse?" Now, we must round that statement out a little bit with an understanding that God often condescends to us by saying such things as, "You have grieved me." But that is a condescension. That's a condescension from God. This is not God saying, "Really, I want you to know, human beings, that you can injure me. God cannot be injured by us. He is completely sufficient." God would show his extreme displeasure with sin by condescending to us in language that is understandable to us by saying, "You have grieved me." But truly, is it possible for us in that sense to injure God? No, but God would reveal his hot displeasure against sin. And so Elihu is speaking good Bible doctrine when he says, "What do you take away from God when you sin against him?" And then secondly, he says, "What do you add to him when you do well?" What have you added to God? How have you refreshed him? We heard just a couple of weeks ago, didn't we, at our Friday night study, we heard about that the death of a world was not enough to appease God. What does your good doing do for him? And then notice what Elihu does. Isn't it brilliant? He says, "No, when evil men do evil, it is to their own hurt. And when good men do good, it is to their own profiting." The Lord has condescended to us, brothers and sisters, and spoken of his own grief against sin, such that we might be turned from it, so that we might do well in this world and not suffer under the condemnation of our sins and the chastisement of his hand. Over and again, the Lord has risked, if you will, being called something that he is not by condescending to us with the strength of human expression, something that we might understand, so that we might be turned from doing evil unto good. So Elihu's words are good and upright here. We do not add to God. We do not take away from him. We do not injure him nor do him good or contribute to his health and well-being. But rather, he condescends to us in such language, such that we might hear and retreat and draw back from doing those things which are indeed self-injurious, and that we might do those things that indeed promote our good. This is what Elihu says here. And then he goes on to say that among the children of men there are none who say, "Where is God, my maker, who giveth songs in the night?" That the natural man in his estate does not acknowledge God. He does not acknowledge his goodness. He does not acknowledge those good things of God. But we are responsible to do so because he, in the next verse, teacheth us more than the beasts. We're not animals. We should not respond. I mean, you can just watch your pets when you go home. Watch them. What do? They gravitate toward that which is most comfortable and shy away from that which is most uncomfortable. Right? They do that. Why would we do something different than that? Because God is our maker. We are created in His image. And we should not be like beasts. We know that those comforts of ours that draw our hearts, often draw our hearts away from God. And God has called us not to worship our comforts, but Him. And so He is speaking this specifically to Job, who is murmuring over his discomforts and longing for greater comforts. You see how this ties into what Job has been speaking. Then finally, and we'll close with this to give Reverend Stodgill his due for time. Although thou sayest, thou shalt not see him, yet judgment is before him. Therefore, trust thou in him. Two things in that, and then we'll have to close. But there is deep divinity in that statement. First of all, Job has said, my judgment's removed from God. Elihu says, no, it isn't. You will stand before him. You will give account for these words of yours that have gone from your mouth. But then note most specifically what he says. Therefore, trust thou in him. Do you hear that? In other words, the response of the rebellious that says, oh, well, I'm just not elect then. I'm just not a Christian then. I don't have to do those things. What does Job say? I'm sorry, what does Elihu say to Job? You will stand in judgment before him. Therefore, trust in him. Recognize the faithlessness of saying, I will not stand before him, because you will. But don't you desire, since you will stand before him, to stand in his favor. Therefore, trust in him. My dear brothers and sisters, put your trust in him. You will stand before him. Put your trust in him, in his mercy, in Christ Jesus. All right, with that then, let's stand and continue praising God.